The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always, to not lose heart. He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. In that city there was a widow who kept coming to him saying, grant me justice against my opponent. For a while he refused. But later he said to himself, though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice so that she may not wear me out by continually coming. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them. And yet, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Beloved children of God, this is the good news, the gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In preparation for this week, I invite you to think about justice. I do believe we often think of justice as punitive, or grounded in retribution. How do we think about and respond to injustice in our world? Are we moved to prayer, or do we confuse prayer with complaining, which is different from lament? It is certainly easy to complain without ceasing, as opposed to praying without ceasing, and perhaps some of us do not know the difference. People like the widow are persistent in their pursuit for justice. Many of us just complain about that injustice that is all around us. In fact, we might even get annoyed with people like the widow, drawing attention to a system that's meant to ensure justice, and it functions as a mechanism in which she's perpetually experiencing injustice. Some people don't like that being brought to their attention. They don't want to hear it or see it when someone is persistent in those pursuits of justice and airing those grievances. This parable can also get tricky in our approach to prayer. Some will use this as an abuse and tell people who are experiencing hardships that it's due to their lack of persistence in prayer that they are experiencing what they're experiencing. And that is nothing more than spiritual abuse to people who need compassion and support in their time of trial. When people are primarily exposed to shallow and abusive expressions of faith, it's no wonder why they would walk away from the idea that a loving God exists. They see evil in the world. They see what we see, that life can be unfair. And then they're given a projection of God that's really only concerned about justice if you're engaged enough with this God. James Squire echoes something that you've heard me say often, that we get into trouble when we treat our relationship with Jesus as transactional. Squire compares it to using Jesus like a gas pump. He says when you treat faith like fuel that you'll need to fill up on regularly, like the gas tank in your car, it becomes a negotiation in which we retain control of the steering wheel in our lives. Notice that. We're comfortable, more comfortable at times when we feel that we are in control. We see Jesus as a recruiter, and we are savvy enough to ask, what's in it for me? If I'm doing this all for you, Jesus, I need what you have to keep me going. But what did we hear Jesus say in Luke's gospel today? When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Our relationship with God is not a relationship of transactions. Jesus has no interest in that kind of relationship with us. Jesus wants us to be in relationship and in full communion with the living God. This requires us to be engaged with God in ways that will bring about struggle in our own lives. Our first lesson is such a beautiful image of Jacob wrestling with God. It sustained me in my own faith journey. And that name Israel means, translates to wrestle or to struggle with God. And that is a life of faith. That we would cling on to God as we wrestle and struggle throughout our pilgrimage here on earth. And in that wrestling and struggling, we find and receive blessing from a God that engages us. And faith is clinging to that God. Too many want it to be a tidy enterprise, this understanding of faith. And simply not the case. And others want our relationship with God to mirror what we see in the world. That God would function like the judge in the parable. That if we're just persistent enough, we'll get what we want. As if God does not care about justice. As if God does not truly care about people. And that is what is unwittingly conveyed to the world when we offer this projection of God. Because it is exhausting to see the widows and others who are marginalized in this world to have to persistently fight for justice. It's exhausting to experience such injustice. But Jesus assures us that God's way and God's kingdom is not what we're experiencing in this world. In fact, it is Jesus that is persistently trying to get us to see another way. It is Jesus that is trying to invite us to a kingdom that is not of this world. That we don't have to be satisfied or just to deal with the status quo of the human authority that we're used to in this world. Because Jesus invites us to cling to him and to follow the way of the cross. In the incarnation, Jesus, in taking on the cross, what happens to him? Jesus is the judge of the world, would allow himself to be judged by this unjust world. That on the cross, he would take on the world's injustice and seek to make things right. An unjust world who would even kill God in the flesh. An ultimate injustice that Jesus would overcome. And we cling to Christ, knowing that the injustice of this world does not have the final word because of that love poured out for us on the cross and the promise of an empty tomb. That we have new life and that there is a new creation that's underway. In relationship with Christ and made right with God through Jesus, we know first and foremost we are made right through his mercy. And then we're called to follow that way of Jesus in the world. That means that all of us together are going to be persistent in a life of prayer for sure. And that we're going to embody God's cry for justice in the world. So prayer is an important part of our relationship with God. We just need to understand that distinction of what prayer is and how it deepens our relationship and walk with God, as opposed to treating prayer as if God functions as some sort of cosmic vending machine. I've mentioned before how there are those in our society that are fed up with that phrase, thoughts and prayers. When there's tragedy in the world, that's something that's often uttered, particularly by those in authority. Uttering a phrase as if they are completely helpless to addressing some of those problems that we face. But because the thought of prayer is uttered in such a hollow way, some have concluded that prayer itself does nothing. But prayer is doing something. And prayer and justice go hand in hand. Diane Roth says this about prayer being persistent and its connection with justice. She says, persistent prayer and seeking justice both involve struggle, wrestling, honest questioning. When we come to God in prayer, we learn to speak honestly, to ask questions, to persist despite failure and silence. We also struggle when we persist in seeking justice and we become more honest with God and with ourselves. And in both cases, we persist because somehow we have learned to trust God. We believe that God, unlike the judge in the parable, is just, that ultimately God is on the side of healing, of reconciliation, of the poor being lifted up and the silent finding a voice. Sometimes I don't know why we keep believing it, but we do. Some readers of this parable have come to the conclusion that God is the widow, beating on the doors, our doors, trying to convince us to do the right thing. God is the annoyingly persistent one. There is something intriguing about that, although I don't think it solves any problems or ties up any loose ends. In the end, we have prayer and justice, and the persistent trust that somehow, in the end, the doors will open and justice will prevail. And as people of faith, that's what we cling to. We cling to that. We trust that God has done that and will do that in Jesus Christ. Will the Son of Man find faith on earth? I believe yes. Because even though we continue to experience injustice in this life and in this world, we continue to cling to Jesus. And that is faith. Clinging to the one who is faithful to the very end. It's clinging to that word of forgiveness that you heard today. It's clinging to the good news of the gospel that you hear and receive today. It's clinging to the presence of Christ that you will receive in the gifts of bread and wine today. It's clinging to a God who's continually persistent, continues to come to us whenever we gather together as church. And through that means of grace, we're reminded over and over and over again that God's justice is grounded in mercy and grace. Growing up, I remember, and even to the present day, I hear too many Christians speak of a God, and they say it's a just God, but it's an image of a God who's full of wrath and anger. And when we're centered on that idea of God, how easy we could be disregarded by this God. It creates a life of faith that is uncertain, and an uncertainty of if God really loves us, and then we become so focused on ourselves. But that's not the God we experience when we gather here. Whenever you gather here, I hope you walk away always knowing that you are made right with God. Hearing that word of forgiveness, hearing that good news, that promise to trust, hearing that those gifts of bread and wine, Christ's presence, given for you and shed for you, filled with God's presence to go out in the world. This God has not abandoned us. This God is persistently always coming to us and filling us with his very self. It is mercy and grace that has made us right with God. We look to the cross and we see a judge of the world that is quick to forgive. In response to receiving such mercy and grace, we are called to go out in the world and as the body of Christ to be as persistent to others as Jesus is towards us, to walk with the widows and all those who are marginalized in this world, crying out for justice, to minister to them, to listen to them, to comfort them. And turning to God in prayer, may we continue to be blessed in our own wrestling and struggles, that we would be filled with peace and joy as we cling to Jesus and continue to embody the way of Jesus in the world, bearing witness to the world that we are made right through sharing the love of Jesus. And in sharing the love of Jesus, we give them a glimpse of what the world to come looks like now and what it will be forever. Thanks be to God. Amen.